Welcome to Shifting Impressions, Conversations with the Realm of Beings, with me, Greta Chamberlain, and the Realm of Beings. Shifting Impressions, which is one of the vehicles that supports the transmission of the Realm of Beings, is here to assist you in delving into your being by providing numerous topics and discussions for you to intake as you deepen your connection with your inner world. Shifting Impressions is here to assist you in strengthening yourself as you excavate to understand your true nature. Join us today and learn to shift your mindset, shift your thoughts, and shift your focus to recreate your life and produce a new you. Shifting Impressions starts now.
And welcome to Shifting Impressions, Conversations with the Realm of Beings. I'm here as Carol with Kathy and Greta and, of course, the Realm of Beings. We're very happy to be here on Transformation Network every Friday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time. Thank you, listeners, for joining us and being part of this experience. These conversations will help you to understand your creations of reality, how your creations show up in your life, and how you can help to learn to shift those impressions and creations to what you want to experience. Welcome. If you're new to the podcast, every week Greta is given a quotation from the Realm of Beings, which is shared with us and under discussion. And halfway through the podcast, the Realm actually comes on and gives us more insight to their quote. This week, we're talking about you are challenged. You exist simultaneously in realities and the extensions of these realities. Consequently, you are responsible for the creation of all of them. And when I read that, my first thought was reverberation. As soon as you create one reality, there's reverberations, and you're technically responsible for all of them because you started the original one. So my thought is, again, accepting responsibilities as your creations and not trying to pawn it off and blame somebody else for something that you don't actually want to experience. That was my inkling on it.
Okay, I think the show is done. We're done. The show is over now, yeah. You summed it all up. But I'll be honest with you, I was looking up, trying to remember what infinity was, and I said, 200,000 miles. Then I realized I was looking at the car. I said, that's not what infinity is. It's not 200,000 miles. I said, all right, darn. And I'm like, that means forever. I knew it meant forever. I was looking for something kind of smart to kind of say, you know, something like that. But
you always say smart things, Kathy.
Oh, thank you so much, Carol. So do you. But I mean, it's hard sometimes for me to wrap my head around just piggybacking off of what you said. And I know Greta's going to jump in here, and I'm just going to be quiet because this one, I mean, I was confused as a cow on AstroTurf with this one. I'll be honest with you. You know, what kind of grass is this? You know, I mean, it's hard to wrap my head around sometimes that I exist simultaneously everywhere all at once. That's what I got from it. I exist in all realities and all extensions of those realities. Like you said, the reverberated realities, all of that, because it never goes away. So I'm still doing this, and I'm still lying awake, tossing and turning at night in the bed last night. It's still going on. And that could be kind of, I could crave it to be a little frightening for me, for myself. And I'm sure other people out there might be feeling the same way when they're looking at this and listening to this discussion. Wait a minute, how am I existing in all realities, and how am I responsible for all of them if I'm only aware that I'm in this one, if I'm focused in this one?
Well, see, this is where my belief in my empirical scientific theories such as quantum physics, has given validation to these statements, because look at particles that they've discovered that are existing in more than one place at the same time, proving that what we're talking about is real, right?
Yeah.
See, the thing is that, what does it say? It says you are challenged. And I think it is a challenge. It's a challenge for us. It can be. Because it's saying you are challenged. That's what we brought to ourselves. We brought this experience to ourselves, regardless of what it looks like, to be challenged. And why do we want to be challenged? We want to be challenged because the force, which we are, and we've been saying that over and over and over again in this podcast, wants to experience itself. So it has all of these beings, as an experience of its life. And everything is creating, everything is creating its own reality, because everything is living. There's not a thing that you can say that's not creating its reality. It's just that when we put those blinders on, you know, and when we went through kindergarten, like I've said before on the podcast, you know, in kindergarten, they teach you, okay, let's talk about, or preschool, let's talk about what's living and what isn't. You know, so then they, you know, they hold up like Kathy's Infinity car. Is this living or is this non-living? And then all the children will say, non-living, you know. A child who's extremely astute will say, living. And then the teacher will say, you're wrong. You're wrong. Let me show you. This is not living. Does this look like you? Does it move on its own? You know, and starts to convince each one of us that our answer was wrong, when in essence it was correct. I remember I had a third grade class. Ooh, that'll date me. So I'm not going to put date to it. But I had a third grade class. And one of the assignments was, show me how a car is living. That was the assignment to the children. Ooh. And you'd be amazed how they were able to take that car and equate it to a life like ours, and show that it's really a living entity, even though I hadn't carried them into the quantums of it. But that's the essence. So we set ourselves up. That's why it says you are challenged. We challenged ourselves, and we did that by choosing our parents. We chose our parents, and that started the whole shebang. Because let me say this. In some books, it's going to say that we chose our own lessons, because we got to start there. But we want you to understand it at a deeper level when it says we chose our lessons. Because, yes, we did. But it was chosen at the incarnate stage. And the incarnate stage, where the formulation of our physical bodies and all the lessons come and everything, that is coming from the force. So at that point in the incarnate stage, we are the force. And then it develops itself into each individual thing. So we came in here as humanoids. And when we came in here as humanoids, we came in here with certain paradigms that go along with it, you know. But then it says you exist simultaneously in realities and the extensions of these realities. Right, that is reverberation. I think the audience, they might have heard us talk about reverberation, but I think explanation needs to be given to them. If one of you guys wants to say what
The example that comes to my mind is let's say you got into a car accident, and most people will immediately say, it wasn't my fault, that guy went through a red light. But we know that you create your own reality, and we equate the mental equivalency with accidents as anger. And as you keep digging down, now you have to ask yourself, you know, why did I create this accident? Because I'm angry. Okay, what am I angry about? Who am I angry with? And you just keep digging down. And I think that's all the reverberations that are like the pond with the pebble in it, with the circles that go out. You have to understand that each one of those rings came from that one pebble. So each one of your realities is coming from your starting point of your creation of reality. Is that
close? Yeah, that's very good. That's very good. Go ahead, Kathy.
No, I was going to say, just building upon what you're saying, since we want to go kind of deeper, I hope I'm going to go deep with this. We don't know how long those rings will continue and go on. I mean, they'll stretch out until infinity. So it's like, what is space? I mean, it makes you look at some of the things that the old philosophers, you know, like Solon from Kemet, and all of them are talking about. They taught, you know, Plato and all of them other Greek people. I mean, you know, what is space? Who created space? How do I know space even exists? If everything's absolutely an illusion, I don't know. And so how do I know all these other realities exist if I cannot see them? If I cannot see them using the five senses that limit us, that we've discussed before, you know, can't see it, touch it, feel it, or smell it, you know, does it exist?
And yeah,
that's where we, yeah, oh yeah, well, but
you
don't.
You can be aware of the realities because you created them. Because let me say this, I'm going to go back to the thing I said last week. Now the audience that's just listening won't be able to see my fingers, but I have my index over my thumb, okay? And it's only about a quarter of an inch. Inside that quarter of an inch can be millions of realities. Now let's talk about a reality. If I put my hand, and I've done this once before, if I put my hand is up in the screen and I move my little finger over, soon as I move my little finger over, that's reality. Because a reality is a choice. I have a choice to move my little finger over or to move my thumb over. But I've chosen to move my finger over. But now, let's look at me moving my finger over. Look, there it goes, there it goes, there it goes, there it goes. Each time I move it inside this space, that's a reality. So I think that the question is, then what is reality? Reality is choice. And reality is also movement. You know, it's like, don't think that you just get up and walk. Sure, you have an autonomic nervous system that's assisting you in that. Your heart is beating. You know, it keeps beating. You're not aware of it, but you know it's beating. Not unless you hear it, not unless you put your hand over it, you can feel it. But other than that, you know it's there. Okay, like you said, Kathy, you can feel it, you can hear it, you can whatever. But each time it beats, that's a reality for you. It's not the reality is that I got a house, I got a job, I bought a new car. That's how people think realities. But we want people to start thinking that every moment is
okay. All right. So every movement, think small. Think small. And then it builds out.
Yeah. And see, not only that, but then when you added on the point, how do we know that they're there? You know that they're there because you realize that you experienced it. Like, for instance, with the example that Carol gave of the car accident. Okay, so I'm in the hospital now, And it seems like the car accident happened in the past. But see, we now know that there is no past and there is no future. There is only the now. So you may be sitting in the hospital, but that accident is still occurring over and over and over again. It is still there because once something becomes actualized, it is still there. But you can change it. It's like in the facilitation process, and you know this, Kathy, we can go to the accident and we can protect the people, the parts that were hurt in the accident, but we cannot change the accident. We cannot change the event. The event stays, you see. So that's an interesting paradigm unto itself. But everything that we actualize, create, that we actualize in this particular reality stays in existence. Remember, scientists have found out you can, and help me with this, Carol, you can't destroy energy nor create it. It just is. So you've taken that energy and created it to be that car accident. So it's going to stay there.
Well, since you used the word energy, Greta, don't we explain that energy is, in fact, it's always you can't be created or destroyed. It's always there, and that energy will just mutate to what you're manifesting. So
what is the energy, Carol? The force. Right. So the force is there for infinity. It's there. It's not going anywhere. So therefore, the energy can't go anywhere. That's one reason why the energy can stay, you know. So it stays. And what happens, we've learned that the etheric body, which is just a gridded body, everything has an etheric body, because the etheric body helps you to maintain the way the energy, it instructs the energy to hold the doorknob to look like you want it to look like.
And in the human body, you could equate that to like the skeleton of a cell, or the cytoskeleton of a cell, or something
absolutely,
like that.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. But everything has every part of that cell. For those of you who are in science, let's just talk about the mitochondria, which keeps the cell, is the energy part of the cell. You know, it has an etheric body that holds it to look like, to hold it to look like a mitochondria, because that's the way we perceived it to be. See, it says, you are responsible for the creation of all of them. I would even take that off and say, you are responsible for the creation of everything. Everything that comes to you, everything you see, smell, feel, whatever, what's the other ones? Touch. There you go. You do it all. Like right behind me, those of you who can see that are watching the podcast, you see that I have a door behind me. You see I'm sitting in a black chair. I'm holding that to look like that black chair. I'm holding it. And then if you're viewing it, then you're holding it as well. Like looking at the chair, you might not even see that it's black. Somebody may think, oh, it's navy blue, dark navy blue, because you're going to see everything through your own perceptions of who you are. What are your experiences? See, perception is two things: your perception, your personality. Those are two things that really impact how you create your reality. You know some people, you've met them, you say, oh, that person is so calm. Or that, you know, so you're perceiving that person. For you to say that person is so calm, that means you got to be calm yourself in order to realize that that person is calm. Otherwise, you can't even see it, you know.
But here comes my line, Greta. What you're saying sounds real good on this Zoom, but I'm thinking of the other people that are listening and watching. It's like, for example, I see your door. I see it's a brown door.
Mm-hmm.
How many people did I create for everybody else to see it's a brown door, or did they all see it's a brown door?
That's the part. It's going to be the color of the door is there because I've created it to be there.
Oh, you created for it to be brown.
I create everything that's in my space. But
how do I see? How am I seeing what the heck you created?
You're seeing it because you're perceiving that what I'm asking you. Let's go back to the protocol without going into neuroscience, because we'd have to really go into neuroscience with that.
I don't want to do that today.
No, we don't want to do that today. So, but think of create, support, support, create. In my mind, my door is brown. So therefore, you've got to support me in that. You are supporting me automatically. Because see, there's really, when you get down to it, there's no difference between you and me and Carol. We're really all one. It appears like we're different because that's the appearance. That's the illusion. But you're supporting me and seeing my space as much as you can perceive it.
So if I'm sitting in my space, and my space may not be as tidy as I'd like my space to be, can I create and sit there with all this mess and say, oh, this is tidy? And will you see tidiness or no? I'm just asking.
No, if you see tidiness, you already told me that you know it's not as tidy as it's going to be.
Darn. Okay, well, let me start again. You didn't hear that.
Isn't creation of reality starting from an unconscious level?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but the title is You Are Challenged. So I'm just showing you that I may be slightly challenged. And there may be other people out there listening that might be a little challenged too. So I'm just trying to flesh it out. No, I'm trying to get it to reverberate. creating for it to simultaneously extend itself.
I must support you. Must support me. That's how it works. If we're in a relationship right now, the three of us are in a relationship with each other. I am supporting each one of you while each one of you is supporting me. So in my brain, I have my space. And you're going to support me in that space. It's like one time, Kathy, you asked me, what is that behind you? And I said, I got two teddy bears back there. You know, you asked me about
that. And I only saw one.
Right. Well, there you go.
Let me ask you this. I weigh 130 pounds. Can you see it?
I can only see your shoulders and your breasts somewhat, your happy face, your eyeglasses, and your hair on your head. Now, to tell you how much you weigh, or I have not the foggiest idea.
If you want
to stand up and show me your whole body, Kathy, stand up and show me your whole body. Let me guess then. It'll change, I'm sure. See, I know what you look like. I know you ain't no 135 pounds.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It has to be someone that doesn't know me that says, oh, yeah, she weighs 130 pounds. I can see it. But you do know what I look like in Carol.
Carol would like to say she's 5'6", but we all know that's nowhere close to the truth.
But that's good.
Yeah,
I have convinced everyone that I'm 130. That don't know me.
Some people that are out there that can't see your body and that don't know you, because they're only going to see the top and see your head, and they've never met you in their lives, they'll say, oh, she weighs 130 pounds. So that's
Thank goodness.
All those people going to be supporting you, Kathy, weighing 130 pounds.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. Thank you, audience. Thank you so very much.
They appreciate that.
I sure do.
And then Carol's going to be 5'6".
You bet. I love that. I always told people I'm not overweight. I'm just height challenged.
Oh, well, I caught a fat virus. They talked about that on television. But see, now I'm going into self-deprecating stuff. And look what I'm creating. And that's going to reverberate. And that's going to reverberate. So I'm going to QDR that. I'm experiencing releasing all emotions and thoughts that support me in creating and maintaining self-deprecating, reverberating realities. Did I say that right?
That's okay. I love myself.
I love myself unconditionally. Woo, shoot, that was a close one. See how you do that, audience? Woo, I just changed that thought. I changed that reality.
Greta says all the time, be careful what you think, be careful what you say. Because you're unconscious, you might be joking, but your unconscious doesn't know you're joking.
Doesn't know that.
He says, you want to be fat, here you go. And you just created a reality you don't want. I know, because I do it myself.
My question then is, with the creation, with the reality, with that QDR, I'm changing that reality. So do all the reverberations change that go along with that reality?
It says, I am experiencing releasing all emotions and thoughts, because there's sometimes you don't know how many thoughts and emotions go with one particular experience. Or you may know it somewhere in the unconscious, but you're not aware of it consciously. So that QDR, quick displaced replays, is taking care of the unconscious. It's saying, look, I'm changing. I don't want this. You know, and most people, and in fact, I haven't found anybody that has used it and said that it's not successful. Because if it, you know, you're getting ready to create a reality that you don't want, and you hit that. Memorize it. We always tell people to memorize it, you know, because that helps you to recreate realities that you want versus, in fact, it takes away the ones that you don't want.
That's what I wanted to know.
Because, see, affirmations, what do? But they affirm. That's what the word affirmation means. I'm affirming something. So you're going to affirm the parts of it that you want to experience. Like in a love relationship, I am experiencing being loved, deeply loved unconditionally. You see? Whereas you're now going to say, I am experiencing not being criticized and physically abused. You would never say that, because now you've got low vibration in there. But you can take a low vibe, you can put that in the QDR and say, I'm experiencing releasing all emotions and thoughts that support me in creating and maintaining being verbally abused or physically abused or criticized, or I am experiencing releasing all emotions and thoughts that support me in creating and maintaining a belief in lack. You see, so you're getting rid of that. That's how you can, it's not that you get rid of it, but you let the unconscious know, hey, I want a different paradigm, which means let's do the energy over again here. This is what I want. I don't want this. So
if I'm born with something that I agreed to experience for the force experientially. Let's say I'm born with allergies. I want to experience allergies. How do I change that reality with those? If I don't want to experience those allergies anymore, do I do a QDR?
Well, I think the first thing would be, Kathy, and I know you're being an advocate for that. That's why you're asking that question. But because you already know the answer, but for our audience, it is that you you have to decide what it is that you want and what it is that you don't want. That's the first thing. If you have an allergy, you've chosen that allergy. That's a how. See, you got to go past the physical challenge, the right. physical reality to why am I allergic? And one way you can do that is to look at those books. We favor Louise Hay's You Can Heal Your Life and Jacques Martel's Encyclopedia of Ailments and Diseases. That's our go-tos, but other people can have other go-tos as well. But you look up the mental equivalency. The mental equivalency of that physical reality that you've created, when you look up the mental equivalency, it's going to tell you what's going on underneath that reality that you're creating. And allergies, one of the things you're going to find there is, who are you allergic to? You know, that's what allergies mean. Anybody walking around with an allergy to fish, an allergy to tea, an allergy to pollen, hay fever, all that. Of course, when you look it up, it's going to give you a little bit more fine tuning to it. But the general thing is that you're allergic to somebody.
Right. But you can QDR that. You can QDR Absolutely. That and then do an affirming statement. Go ahead, Carol.
I was just going to say we're at that point of the podcast where we're going to take a short break. And when we return, the realm will be here to elaborate on this quote. So we ask our listeners, please stay with us. We will be right back. Welcome back, listeners. Thank you for sticking with us. We are now joined by the Realm of Beings to discuss the quote they've given Greta this week. Realm, are you with us?
Absolutely, Carol. We are here.
And we are, as always, happy to have you here. This week, we're discussing a quote You are challenged. You exist simultaneously in realities and the extensions of these realities. Consequently, you are responsible for the creation of all of them. Would you like to give us more information, please?
Well, the first part is that, could you read that first quote for us again, just the first line?
Yes, I can. Let me bring it back up. You exist simultaneously in realities and the extensions of these realities. Consequently,
stop right there. Okay. Yep. So we were saying that you exist in all realities. You exist in all realities that are for Carol. You exist in all realities that are for Kathy. And Greta exists in all realities for Greta. Because each one of you is creating your life. And your life is filled with countless realities. You talked about how a reality is just simply a choice. It's simply a movement. It is simply a change. If you change directions when you're walking, that is a reality. If you walk down the street, that's reality. If you run down the street, that's reality. So what are realities? Change and choice. I'm going to say that again. A reality is change and choice. So choice, you always have a choice of what you want to do. This is like playing chess. This life is like playing chess, you know. And after you get playing through the game and you understand it thoroughly, and every time you get to a point where you're winning and you start winning all the time, yes, you're happy about winning, but at the same time, you get bored with it. So what are you going to do? You might change and do a different game, or you might say, let me find a partner who is more expertise than I am, so that person can give me a stronger run for my money. Mm-hmm. Or you might say, I'm going to change from just one-dimensional chess, as you call it, to two-dimensional chess. In other words, you're going to develop where you have that board above board. I think people have seen those three-dimensional boards, not two-dimensional, but three-dimensional. And so that you have to look down, it gives you a little bit more run for your money. Some people have chosen some challenging parts to their life, just like changing the chess game. Some people have decided to experience giving themselves an illness that is really kicking their butts, you know. Whereas some people have chosen the life of ease and merriment, but inside that ease and merriment are also lessons. You see, lessons abide in everything. And every reality that you create is a lesson, is an expansion of change and choice. Change and choice. You don't want to change it. Yes, Carol.
I like that expression. I just said I like that expression, change and choice. Those are two very good words, because that's it gives it. Control back to you, and you can understand that you don't have to settle for something you don't want. You can actually change it and choose what it is you do want.
Absolutely, because you created it, so you can change it.
I have a question, Rome. It's Kathy. Oh, you already know that. My bad. They cut down a tree next door to me. I don't know how long that tree was there. I'll guess 60, 70 years. If everything exists in the realities that they all created, the tree created to be cut down. However, if I'm expanding and understanding what you're saying, that tree is still there.
That tree was in a reality where it existed. Just because it's cut down in this reality, remember, it's a change. First, right. Standing up, and then it decided, I want to go down. So then it went down. That's the change, and it's also the choice of the tree.
Right. Now,
the property that the tree was on, that particular person said, well, we don't want this tree there any longer. You see, but it's not really, it appears like they're making the decision that they don't want the tree there much longer, but in actuality, it was the tree. And so what they're doing is supporting the tree.
Right.
Because the tree has already said, okay, well, I'm ready to check out of here. I'm ready to make my transition.
Ready to stump out of here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to keep on stomping until it's gone. But get this. Look at how many trees are cut down and the stumps stay. People don't pay to have the stumps removed. And then what do you see happening? You see happening little pieces of the tree coming out of the stump. So it's regrowing itself. So it wanted to experience a regrowth. But it wanted to stay in the same place, you see. And it's a home for a lot of little animals, or insects, as you call them. Look at the ants. Look at the other little insects that might be living in that tree. So they have a symbiotic, even relationship with the tree, you see. So then they've got to go elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So it's constant. It's constant. Lessons are constant. They don't stop. Somebody asked Greta once, do lessons stop? Of course not. They're not going to stop because they're endless experiences for the Force. The Force through every... Can you imagine that the Force is such an energy that it can experience all of these realities simultaneously? All of them.
I have a question, Realm. Just piggybacking on what you're saying, is the Force picking up the reverberations once it gets way, way out? Well, I don't know how to phrase that. Is it feeling the energy of the reverberations? Is that, or because if it's coming from me, what part is it getting? What part?
It gets everything. Because okay. It is everything. And you are it. So it gets you. Except, let's say you're on universe number 232. And there's another individual on universe 2306. The Force is understanding and experiencing you in 236 and the other person in 2006 or whatever I said. All of that, it experiences all of existence simultaneously. Because we are unable to think simultaneous, that I'm going to experiencing you and Carol simultaneously as I'm experiencing myself. We can't fathom that. That would be too much for us at this point because we're human. You see, when we were created as humans, we were created to have certain paradigms. And one of the ones is that we are not privy to everything in existence through this physical body. However, you are privy to everything in existence through that of the force of which you are. So simultaneously, you're seeing everything, everything. Whereas in the humanoid body, you're only seeing a small microcosm of this macrocosm.
Realm, since we are in fact the force, are we simultaneously everywhere also? Because we are the force?
Absolutely.
We just don't perceive it?
Absolutely. Because we are one with everything. See, being humanoid means part of it that you were given as a human is to believe in separation. I believe in separation. That's what you're saying. And you practice it. So the thing is that as you go along from transitional portal to transitional portal to transitional portal, you're going to be learning that you are the force. And if you're learning that you are the force, then you're learning that there is no separation ever between you and anything in existence.
Going back to Greta's earlier comments about perceptions, as humans, there's so many humanoid constructs that we've been taught don't exist in other universes, for instance, like time, just the limitations that we've put on, but those are because we are humanoid, and that's the construct that people accept, and that's why we perceive a lot of things the same way. I mean,
I think
everyone
agrees. Carol, that's good. That's a good explanation. Now, what else were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, like, I think most people would agree the sky is blue, the grass is green, you know, but then it's a humanoid construct of putting those colors to those items. But individually, our perceptions, you and I may not see the same shade of blue when we look at the sky or the same shade of green when we look at the grass. There's still that individual perception, but there's also kind of a consciousness that's global that is under a humanoid construct of acceptance of certain things.
Absolutely. Because you've been pruned to believe in the illusion that you are living in. Everything you see here is an illusion. If we take and we've said this before, if we get rid of the corporal bodies that you're seeing, you're only going to see energy.
And it's going to be
the force. Energy is the force. That's one of its aspects of it. We use its energy. We use its beingness to create our reality.
I lost my thought. I'm sorry.
I did too, Carol. I lost my question.
Oh, I was starting to say, if you strip away the corporal forms and the subtle bodies, not only do you see only energy, but it's all the same energy. It's not like, well, there's Kathy energy and there's Carol energy. No, it's not differentiated. And that's
Absolutely.
When you know that it's all one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People here, as humans, give names to different energies. There's a word that they've decided to use, scalar energy. You know, they have to have names for everything. So then what they've done is to add the scalar energy means that now that's a particular kind of energy. So what have they done? They've done separation, you see. When you give nomenclature to different things, you are supporting the separation of those things.
And humans are very good at that.
Absolutely. Hooray. Hooray for humans. Yes, because this is the place you decided you were coming.
Oh, man.
And you were happy. As the force had said, I want to experience being a Carol with red hair. Yes, by the way, we like your hair cut.
Oh, thank you. I felt it was not what I wanted to create, but I appreciate the compliment and I accept it.
But as a circuit prospect. There's not everything is on purpose. So then the thing we would ask you, Carol, is why did you create your hair to look like that?
That's a very good question, and I will give that a lot of thought. I was thinking of it this morning as I was blow-drying it. Why did I let it get cut this short? And I know that I created it myself, so.
Absolutely.
It does grow, though, and my hair grows quickly, so. I'll create a new reality every day as it grows a little bit more and a little bit more.
Absolutely. The hairdresser just supported you. So something at your unconscious wanted your hair shorter.
Yeah, well, apparently
not
so.
Me, Realm. Not me, Realm. I got my hair duty today so I can look good today. But we only have a few minutes left, and I don't mean to cut anyone off. But I do have one question.
Yes, you do. You know you do, Kathy. Come on.
That's true. That's true. But don't answer the question yet until after I tell you next week. What zone are you in? You always have the choice to remain in high vibration or to function in low vibration. Both of these avenues are lessons from each one of you. And you know, being smart, I forgot what the heck I wanted to ask. Oh, why does it sound different?
Why do you sound different?
Why do you sound different? It's like there's more than one person talking through Greta. You started off. Sometimes it's just like you hear the different nuances in your voice. Is there more than one of you talking? Well, you are the realm of.
I've always heard different voices from
we are here.
They're different entities in there. They're not just one entity, right?
Actually, Kathy, we're all one.
The only one.
But sometimes we have one of our aspects, so speak, you know, and just to give you a little variety, that's all. But we said, Carol asked in the beginning, she said, are you here, Realm? And we said, yes, we are here. We are in full
because I know
form.
There's different voices. Yep. I once experienced, while having a facilitation with Greta, her voice just suddenly was different, and I knew it was the realm speaking to me directly. And I mean, it hit me so obviously, and I was so thrilled to have them speak to me directly. Just like I'm so thrilled for them to always be here on this podcast. Unfortunately, our time is up and we will need to say goodbye to our listeners for this week. We will return next week with the topic that Kathy has told us. So until we create each other again, thank you, listeners. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Transformation Network.
Once again, thanks for joining us at Shifting Impressions, Conversations with the Realm of Beings on TransformationTalkRadio.com. As you have explored today's creation of reality experience with the Realm and me, Greta, each of you is being supported by us in further developing the understanding that you are not just an individual existing in linear time and space, but a multidimensional force of infinite possibilities who is connected to all. So begin to create the realities you want Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time and 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Shifting Impressions at TransformationTalkRadio.com. So long until we create each other again next Friday.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.